This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
His Halloween costumes are so creative, man. I just love seeing them. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Halloween, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. Tomorrow, we'll give you our official picks. We're going to break down this game a little bit more and tell you what we think is going to happen.
Yeah. I just thought, I know I do this every week before the number jumps.
What's that?
Got to get in on that over on the Falcons right now, Chris.
What's the number?
It's at 51. I believe it's 51.5. If it is 51, if it's 51, I'll tell you. I believe it's 51.5.
Okay.
So put me on the over on that. I think the Cowboys are going to score at least 3 touchdowns. I think we're going to score 4.
All right. 51.5. You've been on the Falcons, man, these last few weeks.
I've been running with it. I won last week. I got a little nerve wracking at the end after the safety, and then we had that big drive, and then Baker with the Hail Mary. But yeah, Falcons, good things are happening. The over and the cover seem to be coming our way.
Yeah, and they're playing good, man. I mean, I feel much better about the direction and where we're going. As a matter of fact, we'll let you hear what Raheem Morris said, because the one area in which we want to improve in, he's trying to get them to improve in it, and that is, of course, is pass rush. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Mike Fisher behind enemy lines. Cowboys insider has been for many, many years. We'll ask him about all the issues that they have going on and what he expects to see on Sunday. But right now, let's get to the top three. First and foremost, congratulations to Freddie Freeman, Mike. Mm. What a moment for him. This is him being told, you, sir, are the MVP.
We've got one more thing to do. Come on over here, Freddie. This is the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award presented by Chevrolet. Freddie Freeman, it's all yours.
Yeah, man.
Love the guy, man. You know, we spent a lot of time this week because of his amazing. He had another home run, 6 in a row. So obviously, you hit 5 home runs in a World Series, you're going to be the MVP. 6. Now, just insane what he put together for the Dodgers, Carl. By the way, fundamental baseball, we talked about it. That fifth inning, Yankees are cruising. Gerrit Cole's got given up one hit. And then all of a sudden, whoop! I know everybody's talking about Gerrit Cole. They're making excuses. He wasn't 100%. Yep. That's how he couldn't get over to first base. Okay. But, Volpe's bad throw to third. The judge, let's call it what it is. Judge choked in a big moment, a routine play he's made. Chris, is it true he had no errors in center field on those plays? And then it happens in the World Series.
Blunder.
But the Dodgers took advantage of it. They win 7-6. And, did you think at the time bringing Walker Buehler in was a little cuckoo for Roberts?
I don't know if he was thinking about, you know what, down the road. Mm. Sometimes you got to think about the moment, once we get to the next game. Mike, I'm not sure. I think all hands on deck in that situation, right? And he's going, okay, I got to get out of here, and we got to find a way. And it was the wrong move. I think people will criticize that move when it's all said and done.
But Dave Roberts uses 8 pitchers in that one. Eventually, Holmes comes in and counts it. The whole inning, it was weird. The Ohtani catcher's interference. At the time, I texted you guys. I thought, Ohtani's going to hit a 2-run homer, maybe hit a double, be the big inning. But they only got out of it with just giving up 2 runs in that inning. Could have been worse. But the Yankees, and I said at the end, they went out with a whimper. I mean, 1-2-3, that was it.
They didn't hit. I mean, let's be honest. That is part of this, and Judge was okay. Freddie was great. Speaking of Freddie, this is him talking about winning the World Series and the MVP.
This is everything. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here without the support of everybody in these shirts tonight. It's been a grind these last 3 months, but this organization, Stan, Andrew, Brandon, Doc, my teammates, my family, it's been a lot, and this is it right here. Not this. That one. That one. That's what a it's about. That's what it's about.
You can be a Braves fan and still appreciate Freddie for who he is and what he meant to this franchise. You can do both. There's nothing wrong with that. I am happy for him. I know the issues with Max, his son, and all that stuff. And I said, it's none of my business, but it's been public knowledge. Mike, it's good to see every now and then a guy like Freddie who you know, leaves his heart on his sleeve, lives with it, get out there, and something like this happens, and it's a positive thing.
Right, and I know it just conjured up all the memories of what the hell happened in the 21 offseason. I know Chipper Jones was very vocal about it, saying, look, you know, you got to take leadership with your agent, and if you want to stay here, you stay here. And I know a lot of folks say, look, at the end of the day, couldn't Anthopoulos have sweetened the pot a little bit? He had a number, and that was as far as he was going to go. It was with the term, right? It was 6 years. That was a big bugaboo. It was term more than salary. But you know, Madelson, doesn't make Madelson, again, here we go, Carl. It's a win, lose, zero sum game where, you know, well, Freddie's the GOAT and this guy Olsen's just meaningless stats. Olsen, his career is not defined here in Atlanta. Olsen might be the guy, but right now, Olsen is a career 250 hitter. Freddie's going to Cooperstown if he, you know, keeps it up. He's already got 2,200 hits, over 340 home runs. And as you said, two of the biggest performances in postseason.
Yeah, listen, Freddie's a better player. Doesn't mean Matt Olson won't help us win the World Series. But Freddie's a better player. That's just facts. And at this point, you know, what he did this postseason is magical. Meanwhile, guys, as we're talking about all the things that have been going on, Mike, pass rush. We challenged Judon. I said, come on, man, you got to step up. We asked Coach about it. Here's what he said about Matthew Judon on playing up to his standard.
And he's not playing to his standard. He's not playing to the standard that we expect them. He knows that. Like, it's not anything that we hide behind. It's nothing that you protect the guy on. But, like, hey, he's doing some really good things outside of the sack area. But we wanted the sack area from him. And he knows that. And it's no secret about that.
Okay. So does that happen this week? Do we get one and a half, two and a half?
Well, how good is the Cowboys' offensive line? They can't run the ball.
They're not good. They're not good.
I mean, they've gotten older and they don't run the ball effectively. Dak is like any other quarterback. You give him time, he's going to pick you apart. But Dak's been so terrible. Carl just mentioned 2-2-9-9-9 is 2-2-2. It's that's a former presidential candidate for some of you younger audience members. But anyway, yeah, two interceptions and turnovers, and the coach and McCarthy going, we got to clean up the turnovers, which means Dak stop fumbling and turning the ball over with interceptions.
Yeah, I just feel like he'll give it to you, and part of it is I think he's pressed. I think he knows they can't run the ball, and he's pressed, and I hope he throws it to us a couple of times. Here is Coach talking about the other guy that we've been talking about, and that's Arnold Ebiketie. What kind of job is he doing, Coach Ra?
He's actually rushing the best. He just hadn't had the actual results that you want to have. You know, him and Caden Ellis probably got the best production from a hurry standpoint. You know, for whatever reason, our whole team has just not been able to hit the quarterback. But AK is one of the guys that's rushing the right way, doing a lot of things, getting encouraged to play some inside moves, getting encouraged to take the edge, use the speed, do some of those things.
Well, you know what? And he's right. I mean, he said for whatever reason, it's like we can't get the guy on the ground. Okay, so Jimmy, just call a zero blitz. Let's just bring everybody.
Well, I mean, you know.
Like, just one time, Mike. One time.
As we always joke around, remember the old days? We'd be like, how about Dan Quinn? I'm like, you ever thought about doing like an 8-2-1? And he goes, what? I go, yeah, like eight guys on the line, two corners, and a safety.
Let's just bring the house.
I go, then it would be called the Dan Quinn defense, like the Buddy Ryan, the 6-2, the 8-2. And he looked at me like, you're an idiot. But I was having fun with him. But yeah, let's blitz. Ebiketie, I mean, Coach keeps sticking up for Ebiketie.
He does.
So
he does.
It's got, at some point, it's got to happen. Real quick, we talked about all the different names that are out there. No action as far as anybody being traded that's an edge rusher. I think if anything happens, it will happen on election day, on trade deadline day. But unless a team continues to struggle in that certain area and they pull the trigger earlier, looks like the Lions certainly will be doing something. But surprised the Lions haven't pulled anything off yet.
I am too. I think they're waiting for the right move. Again, they don't want to mortgage the future, nor should they, because they have a really good team.
But they got a team that can win the Super Bowl right now.
Right now. But I don't think, Mike, where you say, all right, we're willing to give up 2-2s or whatever it might be. We'll see. I think they are going to make a move. If anybody's going to make a move, I think it's going to be them.
Hey, we mentioned Freddie, and we talked about the World Series. The Braves do make a move. They get Jorge Soler's $32 million off the books over the next 2 years. And we talked about our new pitcher, which may be our fifth starter.
What's his name?
Griffin Canning.
Canning!
C-A-N-N-I-N-G. That's Canning.
Canning!
He has four pitches. He's got two fastballs, a slider, and a curve. And he has... That's a Snicker chortle. I guess Snicker's nonplussed with this trade. He did start 31 games last year.
Okay.
And he pitched in 171 innings. So if you're looking for that, innings eaters, which we're always looking for, he went 6-13 with the Bad Angels team.
All right. I listen, I just need help. filling the void of starts that we're going to miss out on with Charlie and potentially Max Fried not coming back. We say that because nothing is set in stone. But, guys, at this point, you know, deals, we'll see if deals start to get done here fairly quickly now after the World Series. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks lose last night, Mike. Should they have lost is the question to the Wizards.
Well, they get it down to one. It was 93-92 starting the fourth quarter. And Trey, look, he missed a lot of three-point shots last night. That wasn't dropping. And maybe he's got to learn to trust. Look, Reece Hoshea had 17. For a guy who's like in his fifth or sixth game, Reece Hoshea is getting better by the night. It's just the injuries. DeAndre Hunter, when is DeAndre Hunter going to freaking play?
When is he going to play?
It's not like he's listed for like 2 weeks. It's like night to night. DeAndre Hunter would have been a big help last night. They play no perimeter defense, and just like the first game to the Wizards, they start trading threes for twos. And the Wizards are just, I mean, Carl, you got to get like at least in the area code of the jump shooter.
You do. You at least have to be in the area. Who did you say is what we were talking about?
I'm just saying.
DeAndre Hunter?
DeAndre Hunter. Put him on a friggin' milk carton. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's do that.
I don't care.
Come on, Trey, you do. Hey, man.
You know, by the way, you can go as DeAndre Hunter for Halloween. It's very easy. You just get two pairs of high tops and just carry them around. You put them on the ground, and you go, what's that? It's DeAndre Hunter. It's a zero in sneakers.
That's not right. That's not. Who are we talking about? DeAndre Hunter?
Hey, what's your costume? Let me put it down. That's DeAndre Hunter. Nothing.
Coming up, we go behind enemy lines. Mike Fisher joins us. We'll find out about these Cowboys on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we need to talk to our buddy Mike Fisher in Dallas, Cowboys insider. He's been coming to the team for a long time. Fish, what's going on, man? I know everybody's talking about how banged up this team is, and Mike and I were just watching something. We kind of want an injury update first and foremost because we are wondering who's going to be available Sunday. What do you know?
I would say that Micah Parsons is trending as a no. And that's been a while now with a serious high ankle sprain. He injured that against the Giants. What is that, a month ago now?
Right.
And so he's still in the rehab group trying to make his comeback. So I would not count on Micah Parsons, and obviously that's a big blow. A healthy Micah Parsons is as good a defensive player as there is in football. Deron Bland, who, of course, came from nowhere previous to this year and became one of the great playmakers in the game with all the pick sixes, the NFL record. He came off IR this week. His 21-day window was done, so he had to make the move to the roster. So he's on the 53-man roster, but he, like Micah, did not practice today, rehabbing the shoulder. And then a little bit of a stunner, Trayvon Diggs, very much in the news. Of course, it's the Cowboys. All of them seem to be in the news, sometimes not for justifiable reasons. He's got a calf that's bothering a little bit, and it probably was bothering him on Sunday night against San Francisco in the loss. And then, of course, everything was bothering him after that with the Twitter and the criticism of his play and these and all that silliness. Well,
you can't do what I do.
Either.
right. Wow.
Yeah. So he didn't work. So if the Cowboys, who are 3-4 and struggling in so many ways, but they're struggling with, on defense, especially with consistency and takeaways. Under Dan Quinn here, your old friend and ours, this was a takeaway machine, this team. And I don't know if there's a particular reason for it or if it's just a ball with 2 points, so sometimes it bounces funny. But Mike Zimmer, this is a bad takeaway team now. If you could put those three guys on the field, the outcome Sunday might be a little different. But right now, it looks like it'd be very difficult for the Cowboys to keep pace with the highly charged Falcons.
Fish, it just seems like Jerry was in such a weird spot with Dak Prescott. I mean, waiting all summer long, and then finally, right before the season starts, he gives him the loot. And then, from outside looking in, we all know that Dallas has got so many good players, but it seems like Dak just gets so tight in the big playoff games. How do you fix that?
Yeah, so let me, if I can, give me a little elbow room, and I'll explain part of the phenomenon here. They decided in February, and we started reporting in February. You can find us, by the way, at cowboyscountry.com, and I'm on YouTube at The Fish Report. We started talking about The Fish Report going, look at what they're doing contractually and look what they're not doing. Mm-hmm. And we started calling up the blow-it-up remodel. And now it's become really clear. This team, this organization, did not believe in investing in this group this year. And so we're going to sign the foundational guys, and CeeDee Lamb's foundational, and Micah Parsons will be foundational next year. And then they decided that Dak Prescott was foundational, and history will tell us whether that's right or not. Guys, of their 53 or so guys, they have 35 of them on one-year contracts.
Huh.
That's insane. The Eagles, for instance, have like less than half of that.
Right.
So when you say, well, they've got these good players, that they do, but they've also got a weird cloud hanging over their head. The entire coaching staff is on one-year contracts, either expiring or, in the case of Mike Zimmer, came here and just signed on 1 year, knowing full well what that means. You know, if your boss went through the building and went to every single employee, every host, every producer, every secretary, every support staff, and said, you're all here for 1 year, and then we'll see. when things were going rough, when things get rough, and they do, isn't that when you start calling your wife? Or in the case of one of you guys, your wife and your girlfriend, you call your wife, you call your girlfriend, you call your agent, you call your realtor. Well, that's the kind of thing that's going to, you know, they're human. So when things get a little rough, and things are a little rough around here, this bonding and this unity and this brotherhood starts to crumble. And it really is all a byproduct of the organization of the Jones family and Will McClay, the front office, deciding this team as presently constructed is not going to do it. And so we're not going to invest future assets in this team. It's why they're almost certainly won't make a trade. If you took this team right now and you said, give me Deontay Johnson, a wide receiver, give me Cam Robinson at offensive line, go get me a real running back and go get me a run-stopping defensive tackle, this team would all of a sudden be a lot better. But that would cost them a third and a fifth and a seventh and future cap room. They're not going to do any of those things. They are instead, quite possibly, on a positive note, going to go into about March 8th next year, and if they flip a couple switches here and there, they can have $100 million worth of cap room.
Wow.
That is the blow-it-up remodel.
Huh. Fish is the guest, guys. His name's Mike Fisher, Cowboys insider, a friend of the show in Dallas, giving us the 411 on the Cowboys as we go behind enemy lines. Fish, how can they be this bad, though, to your point about, hey, they do still have some good players? I thought the Zeke signing was a feel-good moment. We knew he couldn't play anymore. Rico Dowdle didn't scare anybody. Dalvin Cook activated. They still can't run the football. But then on top of that, they're giving up 28 a game. I mean, what is good? What should Falcon fans be saying, all right, here's what I'm going into Sunday fearing?
Yeah, I think historically, like Cowboys, Falcons, it seems like the Cowboys always score 40.
Right.
The Cowboys, these Cowboys right now, it would take them a month against the Falcons to score 40. the way they're going. Now, that can all change. But one of the problems is they really have one weapon on offense. I mean, this is CeeDee Lamb or bust. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, is spectacular. There's no question about that. But none of these running backs, you know, Dalvin Cook, with all due respect to his great career, would any team pick him up?
No.
Nope.
No.
Dalvin Cook's got nothing
Dalvin
left.
Dalvin Cook's been on the practice squad here for 2 months. As you guys know, right. You can poach somebody off the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can just take him. And nobody took him. So the league already said what it thought of Dalvin Cook.
Right.
Again, God bless him. Rico Dowdle is just a guy. Ezekiel Elliott now is reduced to, obviously, maybe not even that. Deuce Vaughn is yet another field. They got a lot of feel-good stories around here.
Right.
But they don't have a running back. I mean, they don't have the best running back here would barely have a chance to be the third best running back in Atlanta. The offensive line here, Zach Martin, obviously great future Hall of Famer, fading, and then they're in transition otherwise. So their second best weapon here is Jake Ferguson, who is a try-hard, he's been in a Pro Bowl, but he's a try-hard tight end.
Yep. Okay.
That's your second best weapon. On defense, it's glue and duct tape. I mean, they're really hurt, and they're not very good.
Oof.
And by the way, they cannot for the life of them stop the run. It doesn't matter. They can put 11 guys in the box. They just don't have the personnel to do it, starting with, and again, no, it's not his fault. He was drafted in the first round, but Mazi Smith, the first-round pick from last year from Michigan, he doesn't.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
He doesn't fit. I'm not sure he fits in the sport. let alone in this defense.
Man, Fish is on fire today as our buddy Mike Fisher, Cowboys Insider, joins us. By the way, the last time, and it looks like ESPN's reporting, it sounds like Micah Parsons is out, Carl and Fish.
Yes, please.
Last time he played against Kirk Cousins was November of 22. Four solo tackles, two sacks, three quarterback hits. So, yeah, we don't need any of that. Hey, Fish, taking it back to the offseason, why didn't Jerry move on from McCarthy after that embarrassing playoff loss?
Uh-oh.
They really did. They really could have done Bill Belichick last year. That, but otherwise, to move on from Mike McCarthy and then do some interim thing, that wouldn't have made any sense. For me, knowing that Mike McCarthy was going to be lame duck and was going to be dangled out there this entire time, I would have, if they're going to hire Bill Belichick a year from now, if they're going to hire him next February, I agree with you. They should have hired him last February. Now, Bill, through FOBs, through friends of Bill, he has sent messages through the media friends and through his guy how much he'd like to coach here, and he could get along with Jerry. Then Jerry just comes right out and says it. I'm good friends with Bill. They're not good friends. That's ridiculous. They're not good friends. But they have both laid the groundwork to come up with a marriage of a sort.
A reason.
But I'm in 100% agreement with you. With all due respect to McCarthy, what was gained by keeping him here? When you were looking in your own mirror saying, we're not going to be good. This team is going to make a coaching change. There's a 99%. I don't even know what the bar would have to be for Mike McCarthy to avoid that. And then the big thing, the big question is, do they do what they usually do here? They usually go off the Jones family tree, you know, get guys that they've been part of their development, or they go out and get the established retread, for lack of a better word, but the accomplished retread. Bill Belichick is a highly accomplished retread, except when you look at the last 4 years of what he did in New England. Right. And I know you guys studied this because he flirted with Atlanta last year.
Right.
He hadn't done anything in half a decade. And so, you know, does he want to rejuvenate what he was? Can he rejuvenate what he was? Is he going to put his goofy buddies as the offensive coordinator, or is he going to hire a real offensive coordinator?
Right.
Are the Cowboys going to go off their usual family tree versus Belichick, or will they explore guys that they don't have a relationship with and that don't have a track record? Ben Johnson, of course, the Lions offensive coordinator, he'll be a hot guy.
Yep.
The Cowboys traditionally don't end up looking at guys like that. And just like with free agency, there's just some things. You know, there's five avenues, obviously, to build your roster. There's five ways to go get players, and the Cowboys stubbornly simply won't use one of them, which is big money free agency. There's three ways to go find a head coach. The Cowboys stubbornly won't use one of them, which is to go try to find the next hot thing.
So, Fish, it sounds like Falcons 60, Cowboys nothing.
Well, what is it? Falcons favored by 3 or so, right?
Yeah.
Over-under is 51.
Go look this up.
Go
look this up. I don't have it in front of me. The Cowboys get outscored in third quarters this year, what to what? And so is this an indictment of the coaching staff that's not making the famous halftime adjustment? Is it they just run out of gas because whether it's emotion or talent or whatever? They get slaughtered in the third quarter, like every game. And then they make a valiant comeback at the end when the defenses are playing soft and letting them do whatever they want to. So no matter what the score is in the first half, the track record of the Cowboys now is the Falcons are going to outscore them 21-0 in the third quarter.
Because that's what happens. Wow. Last thing, real quick, before we let you go, always appreciate your time. Mike Fisher joining us here, Cowboys Insider. It's Dukes and Bell. So what took Jerry so long to pay Dak? If he knew all along he was going to do it, what took so long? We can't argue about the number. I said to Mike, 2 years from now, we'll be talking about somebody making 75, and Dak won't even be a question. But the fact that it took so long, why?
Yeah, is it weird that Dak Prescott's the highest paid player in the history of the sport? That seems a little weird.
It does.
I mean, he's a little short on accomplishments for that.
Right.
But you're right. Some days 60 is not good. Listen, Tua makes 53. I mean, they all make 53.
Right.
I don't think this is as big a deal as some do. What difference does it make whether he signs in August or July? Did it have an impact on everything? But this much is for sure. Dak Prescott won the negotiations. The Cowboys, you know, for all the smoke and all the mirrors and all the sound and all the fury, when it comes to big contracts with their guys, they lose every single time. In fact, to the point where Dak Prescott, once again, even has a no trade clause in this contract.
Oof.
I haven't gotten around to find out why in the world would you give him everything else? And you even give him that. Jerry Jones obviously has negotiated billion-dollar deals. And in some areas, you know, the three of us are morons compared to him. But he lost this negotiation with Dak Prescott. There's no question about it. And they're not losing games because of the contract. That's not why they're losing games. But it does, all things combined, do kind of create a dark cloud hanging over the star right now.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.